You're listening to a podcast from thisistheshow.co.uk.
Got you! Don't wanna know! This is the show! How the good birds go! Oh yeah!
Listening to This Is The Show, and I'm Andrew Moyer, driving the Cadillac of conversation down Rock and Roll Highway. Today I am lucky and privileged to be joined by the driving force behind Edinburgh garage punk surf rock group, the Acid Fascists. After 5 years, they are riding off into the sunset and they play their final gig this week. I was lucky to catch up with them at their penultimate gig at Elvis Shakespeare, and their frontman explained to me just why they are calling it a day after 5 years. You can hear some highlights of that gig interspersed, but we will be releasing it in full later in the week. But first, here is a little sample of their groovy slices and acid twists.
What are you taking your drink, sir?
A twist of acid!
Joined by Andy, who is the frontman of the Acid Fascists. Welcome, Andy.
Hello.
So, 5 years of the Acid Fascists formed in 2007. Did you really think it would last this long?
To be honest, no. I really didn't think it would last past the first gig. We didn't even think it would. I mean, because I've been doing stuff under the name of the Acid Fascists for about 7 years now. And we just got the band sort of together and that, and started gigging. It was about 5.5 years ago now. That was our first gig, and we thought that'd probably be our last. You know, it'd just be a one-off, get it out there, and that, and everyone would hate us, and that'd be fine. We could just go home. But it didn't happen. People actually didn't hate us, which was worrying. They meant we had to do it again.
So, did you manage then to build up quite a fan base? Was it from that first gig? People said, this works, and you realised you had something?
We just thought we weren't as bad as we thought we were going to be, so we just keep it going. And people said that they quite liked us. So, and more people, a few people came along. You know, I wouldn't say fan base, but we got to know a lot of people who, you know, would come to all the gigs or most of the gigs, and it was just like going out for a drink, but we'd get up and make some noise in between it. So, you know, it worked well.
So, over these 5 years, obviously, you're quite a political band, yeah. Big political changes, changes in the music scene as well. What are the sort of things you've noticed really evolving?
I've seen a lot more bands start to become political to varying degrees. I'm sure in some cases it's bandwagoning, but in a lot it isn't. I think people are genuinely, you know, going, hang on, maybe we should stop singing about all this guff we've been singing about and start singing about something that's important, and maybe actually go out and do something as well. And I can see that more and more bands are actually going out and doing stuff, and people around bands are going out and doing stuff. You see them at demos and things like that, so that's a good thing. And as I say, even if some of them are bandwagoning, it doesn't matter, because, you know, at least they're doing something, even if they don't mean it.
But in some ways, I'd say, good musically to have a regime to sort of rally up against, not that there hasn't been in recent times, but perhaps much more noticeably.
I don't think it's a good thing, because it's much better if you don't have anyone to oppose and you can just sing flowery, flowery, nice twee songs. That's a lovely, perfect world. I don't honestly think, obviously music's not going to change anything, but the one good thing I think music does is it gives a voice to people who already felt something, already knew something, but it makes them realise that there's other people out there as well, and, you know, they gather together maybe around a band or whatever, or some movement. So I think that in that way music can help, but it's never going to change the world.
So obviously over 5 years you've done plenty of gigs, recorded albums, been on film soundtracks. What are some of the highlights there?
Just gigging, really. I really like gigging. Obviously we put loads of stuff out for free and that up online over the few years. We've had a couple of CDs out. Obviously, yeah, doing the stuff for the films, that's I mean, there's a documentary coming out. It's not actually out for release yet, but it's just been finished, and called Slice and Dice / A Movie Forever, and we've got a song, well, three versions of the same song hopefully on that. So I mean, that's great, but gigging, I just love gigging, so that's the best thing for me.
So where are some of the best venues you've played then?
I mean, obviously in Edinburgh I love Henry's is a great little place. It's it looks like a proper venue. You know, it's a sweaty little club. You can't get better than that. The Parlour, we played there once. That's down in Leith. That's a good venue as well. Obviously here, Elvis Shakespeare, when we do the in-stores, that's brilliant. Love the Moorings up in Aberdeen. That's really, really good. We also get paid and accommodation there, which is always nice. They're probably the best. There's been a few other good ones, but, you know, nothing that springs to mind, but they're the best ones.
Oh,
you've got a video out at the moment for Up Against the Wall, mother. Yeah. Just tell us a bit about that. It just looks fantastic.
Basically, well, obviously, it's the song we've had around for ages, and it's based on a political group in America in the 60s called the Up Against the Wall, mother. Or we were previously called the Black Mask. But the actual video itself came about. It was originally going to be for another song. We've got a friend called Gregor Fergie, and he made a couple of videos for other bands, like animated videos, and they were really, really, really good. So we just as mentioned, would you fancy doing one for us? I say it was for another song, and then it took a while because obviously he's got other commitments, things like that. So it took about 2 years went past, and we went. I just sort of thought, hang on, how about this song? So I kind of sparked it back up again. Again, it took a while to do, but as I say, the animation's fantastic. He took a long time over it. And the character, the main character in it is a character called Tad Martin. Now, there's a guy in America who's a comic book artist called Al Frank, and he did a series of comic books in the early 90s called The Adventures of Tad Martin. I was a big fan of those, bought them at the time, and it happened that Gregor was as well. Gregor, a few years ago, found him on Facebook. Oh, no, MySpace it was at the time. What happened to that? But anyway, he was on MySpace, and he got in touch with him and that, and so we got in touch with him. He actually sent us some of his original artwork over and things like that, which was really nice. I've still got it at home. And so I thought, well, I wonder, would he go for that if we said, could we use Tad Martin as the character in it? And he did. And thankfully, because of Gregor's animation, I mean, he loved it as well. I think he was really pleased. But yeah, if anyone wants to check out Al Frank, I say, he is actually releasing a new issue, I think, soon. It's the first since the early 90s. He's got a publisher that's putting stuff out again, but his artwork's very good, very angsty. You'll like it.
And I guess that opens up your sounds to a whole new audience as well.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people who, because he has got a lot, it's very underground, but he's got quite a lot of fans who are really into the Tad Martin comic book, and an awful lot have obviously seen that now and heard the song, and we haven't had anyone saying that it was shit yet, so that's kind of quite nice.
That's always a bonus.
It is, yeah.
So we're here in Elvis Shakespeare for what is being billed as your second last gig.
Yeah, it is.
Are you riding off into the sunset?
Well, at the moment, yeah. Today's definitely the second to last with this lineup. The last with this lineup will be on the 31st of August in Henry's, I think 11 p.m. But for now anyway. The name's not dead just yet, and the songs certainly aren't. I mean, I spent a long time writing them, and I'm quite proud of them, so they're going to come back. But at the moment, I think I don't want the band to go stale, which we were in great danger of, or was in great danger of happening. I see too many bands that just play their hometown and never seem to play anywhere else, and it's in the same places, to the same faces, you know. So, and while the places and the faces were very nice, I really wanted to push it much further, and at the moment, we just aren't getting our shit together very well. So I thought, right, stop now, before we just become very dull. So
you say you want to push it further. How far do you actually want to take it then?
Well, out of Scotland might have been nice. we got offers, like I say, we got plenty. We got offers, obviously, England, sort of a chance to go to France. We got a couple of offers from America that, well, let's face it, we can barely afford to rehearse. So, you know, actually affording to go over there was never an option. But we had offers from Northern Ireland and things like that, and we've never been able to get it together through people having other commitments and things. So I think when you get to that stage, and particularly after 5.5 years, you just got to go, well, look, if this isn't going to get out of Scotland, I've got to call it to a halt.
So how hard is it actually to find musicians who have the time, have the commitment and the resources to actually take it to that next level?
I think it's really difficult, and particularly sort of, we're not kids, so, you know, there's jobs involved, there's other commitments. Even obviously Stephen, who's been playing with us for the past year and a half, I mean, officially he's never been sort of a member of the band, although he is really. He's got another band called Hosemox, and that's his sort of his priority, because that's the band he was in first. So you've got all these things sort of conspiring against it. I mean, if you're in a band with, it doesn't matter how many people it is, if just one or two of them take a holiday a year, you're talking 3 to 4 weeks out of the year that you can't gig. because they never take them at the same time. So simple things like that obviously get in the way. You get offered gigs, you have to turn them down. This year I've had to turn down more gigs than we've actually played, which was part of the decision for just going, right, let's wrap this up.
And do you feel when you see younger bands out there, maybe with more time and resources, is there an element of say jealousy, or just saying, well, I know how this is going to go eventually?
Well, yeah, pretty much the second. The thing is, there's so many. I see a lot of younger bands in Edinburgh and they're basically doing the same thing. And you think, oh, snap out of it. You know, if you're actually young enough where you can actually do something with this, go and do it, you know. But it's different to say, when I was younger in a band, I was worse than that. You know, I was drinking drugs and were far more important than ever learning how to play. So I can understand it, but yeah, I mean, you get to a point. I'm sure there are people out there, I mean, who really want to play, and it's. I think that's the thing with successful bands, whether they're successful financially or just successful as a great band. What you find with most of them is it's just this fortunate point where three or four people have come together and they all want to do it as much as each other. So and that's what really how you get further. It's not about how brilliant technically you are or anything like that. It's about whether you're actually willing to spend the time. And it's a thankless task because you're not going to get paid for it most of the time. So, you know, you really have to love doing it.
Do you think that's a surprise to some people that when they see even just gigging bands going around, that they're just doing it for the love of it rather than money? Do a lot of people come in thinking, yeah, I'll get paid for every gig?
I think people do think that still, although I think that sort of is being washed away. Even people now, I think with the internet and bands moaning so much about how little they get paid, if at all, people are starting to realise, you know, hey, these people are doing it for nothing. Of course, the pubs and clubs and venues realised this ages ago, the bands would do it for nothing, and so most of them refused to pay anything. And even though they make a very lucrative little sideline on the beer, but you know, that's just me moaning. But yeah, no, I mean, people who really want to be in a band will do it for nothing, but they will also end up being used and. As I say, trying to find another 2-3 people who are willing to push it that hard for nothing is always going to be difficult.
I mean, I've seen quite a community amongst certain bands, you know, certainly playing gigs together and getting together there, but do the venues do enough, or are they just quite happy to sit back and actually let the scene decide itself rather than being a part of it?
I think there's a bit of both. I think some venues push a bit. Some venues push a lot. I mean, let's say the Moorings in Aberdeen. I personally believe that should be a role model for every venue in Britain. they seem to get. It doesn't matter. I mean, even if a band's never been heard, they'll play to a decent audience in there. It's cheap to get in. People go there anyway because the beer's good and relatively decent. The deals for bands are brilliant. You know, they'll pay you not massive amounts, but you'll cover your costs and whatever. You get cheap beer there and you get accommodation overnight. There's not many venues that would sort of go that far. Certainly at that level, you know, at this level of bands, obviously when you get higher up, you start demanding things. But I think, yeah, they're certainly a role model they should be a role model for venues, smaller venues. Yeah.
And obviously from this, it seems gigging is the primary thing that bands can do to gather fans, no matter how many videos you put out on YouTube, how many albums you release, or whatever followers you've got on social media. It is gigging that really makes it.
It's got to be, yeah, it's gigging. And you've got to gig around and away, and you can't just stay in the same town, you know, really. You see this. I remember hearing a story about, as much as I loathe them musically, Oasis. When they first started, they gigged up the country, then back down again at the same venues, and I can't remember, they did this 2 or 3 times, but of course every time even just one person liked them, they'd bring a pal or two the next time, and it was only a few weeks difference, and over a time they built up this massive audience across the country. And I don't like them as a band, but that's obvious, that's the way to do it, you know, if you want to do anything. And I'd just say any band at all, you know, that's unless, say, maybe not financially, but even if you just want to be able to go, if you want to be able to make it pay to go and play gigs, then you have to do something like that. You can't just sit around.
Right, so your last gig? Will it be a reflective gig? Will you be looking back with any regrets at all?
Nah. There's no room for sentimentality. None at all. Hopefully it's going to be a good one. We've got Lost Tentacles are coming through from Glasgow, and Lost Tentacles are fantastic. We played with them on our fifth anniversary gig, and really they're just an astounding band. You can check videos of them up online, but really live they just sound amazing. I'm not sure, there's going to be another band, but I'm not sure who it is yet, but that'll be revealed hopefully next week or so. There's been no confirmation on that, but hopefully it'll be a good one. We're going to play a hugely long set.
Excellent.
Well, I say hugely long, maybe not that long. We're old, we might fall over.
Well, you know, if ever there's a time to be self-indulgent, it's probably on your last gig.
Yeah. We're not going to be too self-indulgent. There's no 50-minute songs or anything, but yeah, I think we'll be, because today we're just going to do a straight sort of 10-song set, but we're going to do like the full works, I think, probably an hour and a, however long, until people get sick of us or we fall over.
And places like this, like Elvis Shakespeare, I think is just a fantastic model. Like every town should have one, just to put in local bands, music, get people interested in music, a place they can come and check it out.
Yeah, it's this is a great little shop, and they really do help bands, whatever, you know. I mean, just being able to come in on a Saturday afternoon sometime and play and install, and if you've got something to sell, obviously, you know, you can maybe shift a copy or two or more, depending. It's promotional, but it's also kind of a bit of a community thing, because people know Mike and Dave, you know, they come in during the week as well just to chat, and you know, people meet here, so they're, a lot of record shops used to be like that, and anyone who's sort of over a certain age remembers the way record shops were. When I was a kid, we always used to meet up outside a record shop called Skeleton Records in Birkenhead, and you know, we'd drink and chat and cause trouble outside there. And I'm not suggesting anyone should come to Elvis Shakespeare and cause trouble outside, but you know, this is the way record shops used to be. It was a place for teenagers or whatever to hang around, and it's a shame that's kind of gone.
Yeah, and the current sort of multiplex record shops almost barely selling any music now. And there must be a place, there must be an audience for this.
There is. I mean, this is the sort of fine example of how there is an audience for this, but it is really small, and it is kind of community based. You know, it's people. There's a lot of people sort of round Leith and the rest of Edinburgh who actually come here. Sometimes bands they've never heard, whatever, they'll come down here on whatever there's a band on doing an in-store just to see what they're like. Obviously, it's free. You can just hang around. Everyone's very pleasant, you know. So it's just it would be nice to see more of them, but obviously I think in the future we're going to see even less of them. But I'm sure this will survive.
And that sort of brings on the shelves or on the internet, you've got an EP out at the moment, which is up against Well Mother as well.
Yeah. That was a recording session we did at 16 Ohm. We basically played live while it was videoed, so there's a video up on the internet somewhere, and we just put it out, and I can't remember how much it's been, very cheap, you know, just thought we'd throw that one out there. We're not sure, we may be recording the last gig, or the last gig may be being recorded, or part of it at least, so we'll see that probably go out there. Not sure whether we'll charge or give it for free. Probably give it away for free. We're nice like that. Also, Gregor Fergie, who made the video, has been videoing. He videoed our last rehearsal. He's videoing today. I'm not sure. I think he might be videoing a bit of the next rehearsal and maybe a bit of the last gig. So he's going to put like a little tiny mini documentary out. So that hopefully will be a month away or something. And I'll be hassling people, go and watch this.
Nice. I'll certainly be sharing that as much as I can. Just to sum up, will you be dropping the Acid Fascist name in the next incarnation? Would you like to start something fresh, or would you like to keep a lot of the elements that you've had?
Well,
here?
At the moment, I've got an idea for something else that I want to follow up, but I don't know yet. That's sort of an interim thing. But I would like to bring back, obviously, the Acid Fascist. I mean, I sort of started up, as I said, about 7 years ago, and I've put a lot of effort into it, and I'm quite proud of a lot of the stuff we've got and whatever, so, and the stuff we've done. So I don't want it to die completely, but you know, it might come back as a different, under a different name, or under the same name, or who knows. But that, hopefully there'll be something else coming up soon. So I'm sure I'll be making a lot of noise about it, so everyone will know.
Listening, don't forget to tune in again later in the week, where we'll have that gig from Elvis Shakespeare in full.